Well, welcome everybody. Right here in the middle of summer, we're going to do this beach baptism worship service today, and so we're excited about that, but we're grateful to be together here this morning and to be worshiping the Lord. We're taking a little bit of a respite from our study in 1 Peter. We're about ready to start chapter 4, but we're not going to jump into chapter 4 today. We're going to wait till next week. If you want to read ahead, to 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to talk about verses 1 to 7 next week, Lord willing. And I say Lord willing because that's been on my mind a lot lately with Tyler's situation. So many of you have been praying for Tyler, my grandson, my step-grandson, my daughter's stepson. He was in a bad accident with some other children, and he's in Stanford Hospital right now. He's been there for over 2.5 weeks. Waiting for this surgery, and the surgery was supposed to happen 2 times last week. It didn't. The biggest problem is connected to trying to get an operating room long enough because they need it for up to 14 hours for this surgery. That's what they're saying to us. And secondly, the problem is just getting all the specialists, the doctors together that need to be in the room, and the others need to be in the room at the same time. So they've been challenged by that, and they're telling us now that tomorrow at noon the surgery is going to happen. So we're praying that tomorrow at noon, he's ready for this, obviously, so is the family, and he's in good spirits, he's in a good place, the infection is no longer there, and so they seem to be ready to go, and we hope it will happen tomorrow at noon, and it would be successful, and he will be able to have function of his leg in the future. Right now he has no function. So keep that in your prayers. We really do appreciate that. This is our something that happened a few weeks ago. If you didn't hear about it, he was in an accident with a mule, and some of you got the information that the mule was an animal. It was not an animal. It was a utility vehicle, kind of like a little pickup, and fortunately the kids are all alive, so we're grateful. Well, that said, why don't I pray for us as we jump into a passage we're going to look at, Psalm chapter 92 this morning, a couple verses. Lord, thank you that we could be together and encourage each other. We do thank you for your works. We thank you for your work and Tyler's situation. We know you're working. We give that to you and just pray again for your perfect timing, but it's a reminder to us that our times are in your hands, and you have a plan for each one of us, and sometimes it's not at the time we think, but nonetheless, it's perfect. And so we embrace that. We trust you. We look to you for answers in so many different areas of our life. And today, we pray that as we talk about connecting with you in ways that would bring vibrancy every day to our souls, that you'll just teach us something here this morning in the middle of this summer, something that would not only be helpful for the summer, but also, Lord, it would be helpful for summers to come, years to come. And we also just pause today and say thank you for those young men that were rescued from that cave in Thailand this week. How thankful we are, Lord, that every one of them got out alive, and the coach too. And we thank you for your intervention. We know that you were working. Even after they got out, we were reminded something more than just what they were able to do is happening there. When we were told they got out just immediately after that, the pumps failed and water was no longer able to be pumped out. And if the rains would have come that they were predicting, who knows how it could have all turned out. But we are reminded again of your work in so many ways, and so we give you praise this morning and pray our hearts would be encouraged as we think about that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few weeks ago, Bernice, my wife, Bernice and I were walking along the beach in Carmel. We decided to just spend some time in that area for a couple of days. It was a little different than we thought because we had just heard about this accident that my grandson was in. There wasn't much that we could do, and we had booked an Airbnb for a couple nights, and so we decided to go on over there anyway. We did a lot of texting with family at that time, but we were over there trying our best to just, you know, make the most of what we were able to do while we were there. And so we're walking along the beach in Carmel, and, you know, there can be some fantastic days there, right? I mean, this is in part why all these people live in Carmel, and you know, probably more would like to live there if the prices were lower, but you get the idea. And so we were walking along the beach, and it was one of those Chamber of Commerce days, you know, where it was sunny in the morning, and it was beautiful. There was no wind. The sky was just blue, and some of those clouds, puffy clouds up there. I mean, it was just a gorgeous day. And so we were enjoying the waves and the ocean and the sands and the trees and all the rest of that. And we came across an artist. She was painting. And we stopped there and we looked at her painting because she had just set up. And it was a continuing painting that she was doing. So she had spent some other days evidently in this exact same location. This is her, actually. And she was working on this you know, rendering or this painting of the beach area there. And we just stopped to talk to her for a minute and said, boy, you picked a perfect place, you know, to paint from. She said, yeah. And I said, well, this is a perfect day, too. She said, yeah. And I said, wow, you're doing a great job. And she said, oh, thank you. You know, I'm really fortunate to be able to live in the area and, you know, to have a perfect day like this. I mean, you know, this is the best. And so we just had a nice, cordial conversation there just for a moment. Then we, you know, scooted along our way, and I thought to myself afterwards, you know, she was painting the greatness of God. She really was, because as she was looking across this beach scene there and all that she saw in this location, what she was looking at was the greatness of God on display. You could see it in the sand, you could see it in the ocean, you could see it in the sky, you could see it in the clouds, you could just see it in that whole surrounding area that's right there in the Carmel area. It's just the work of God's hands. You know, the Bible talks about God's work. It talks about it often as the work of his hands in many different places in the scripture. But I just want to focus just for a few moments here on Psalm 92. If you brought your Bible, you can look there or look at the message notes. But it simply says this, Psalm 92. And I just want to pick up verses 4 and 5 that gets this concept across. It says, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the work of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord." Now, I want to just apply that since today's the beach day. I want to just apply it mostly this morning just to the beach. So in looking at the verse here and talking about the work of God, we could talk about specifically today beaches and sand and the sky and the clouds and all of that, that's the work of his hands. And so, as I said, it's a display of his greatness. You can stand there. I mean, in fact, when you're walking along the beach, if you just keep on walking and you don't stop at some point to just stare, you know, to just stand and stare and just take this in, then you potentially could miss out on what could be invigorating to you. It could be inspiring. It could be eye-catching. There's so many things that we can gain out of just taking time to observe God's creation, the work of his hands. You know, the first book of the Bible actually speaks about the creation of God, the work of God's hands, a work that's characterized over and over in Genesis chapter 1 as good. Well, this is what we're told about his work with regard to the seas and this whole matter of the water that he brought. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7, "And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God," verse 9, "and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land," verse 10, "earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good." If you just think about that, you think about God creating this, what an amazing feat. And if you just think about the oceans, for instance, the oceans cover 70% of the Earth's surface, 70%. The oceans, we're told, cover 140 million square miles. The largest ocean is the ocean that we're next to, the Pacific Ocean. It covers about a third of the Earth's surface. It has within it 25,000 islands. In fact, the oceans are so vast, the five oceans are so vast, that only 10% of the Earth's oceans have ever been explored. Only 10% have been explored by humans. Did you know that the longest mountain range in the world is actually underwater? It's called the Mid-Oceanic Ridge. It's a chain of mountains that runs through the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, into the Indian Ocean, into the Pacific Ocean, and it is more than 35,000 miles long. And its peaks are higher than the Alps, and the highest peak in the Alps would be 16,000 feet. So we're talking about something higher than 16,000 feet underneath the water. And we're told that the oceans contain 97% of water on the Earth, and that the average temperature of the ocean water is 38.3 degrees, which is why I'm going to wear a wetsuit today when I baptize those that are going to be baptized. Now, it's no wonder, you know, when you just stop and you stare at the ocean, something ought to be changing inside your soul. I mean, it ought to be doing something for your soul. And quite frankly, the Bible talks about it filling up our souls, as you can see here in Psalm 92. When you just walk along the shoreline of the ocean, you just can't help but feel like something's happening to you when you stand there and you just take it in. You take in the beauty, you take in the power, and if you're a kid at heart, you're going to probably be pulled into the ocean, actually, into its waters. That happened to us last week, our family. We went over there and we're enjoying some time with two of our youngest grandchildren, two granddaughters. Paisley was along with us. Katie said to us, "We're just going to go over. We'll just have a little walk along the beach. Daddy, how does that sound?" He said, "Okay, that sounds great." I said, "Is this going to be a dry walk or a wet walk?" She said, "This is going to be a dry walk." I said, "Okay, sounds good to me." So we went over there expecting the dry walk, and it didn't happen that way. When you have a three-year-old, right, with you, it's just not going to happen that way. It's like the water is saying, "Come to me, come to me." And she came to the water and was all wet, and it changed everything. But kids aren't the only ones impacted by God's creation. We all can be. And Psalm 92, just in a real simple way, helps us understand how we can be impacted by God's works. Number one, it says that God's work can make us glad. God's work can make me glad. Do you see that there in verse 4? "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work." Now, I'm sure most of us here can identify with this, where we would say that my spirits, when I got near the ocean, were in some way lifted. The ocean lifted my spirits. So for that matter, just talk about any other nature, beautiful lake, pine trees, a meadow filled with wildflowers. When you just stand there and you just take it in, God's work is absolutely evident, so that it can take a person from sadness to gladness. I think this is the time of year where hopefully a lot of that is happening. Where, you know, we get away on some vacation time, and hopefully it's so that we might be refreshed and encouraged, and we can do a little bit of rejoicing, lifted up, fueled up after a year of busyness and probably unceasing activities. And one of the best things that we can do, and it's just a good illustration here in Psalm 92, one of the best things that we can do is just get away to some time in God's creation, to nature. Get away to some mountains. You know, this past year we had our spirits lifted just by spending some time in Montana. Then we spent some time over in Hume Lake up there in the Sequoias. That was fun. We had a few days there. Spent some time in Tuolumne up there in the mountains. We spent some time even over here at Mount Hermon with an elevation of 400 in the Santa Cruz. 400 feet. Wow. Over here at Mount Hermon. You ever been to Mount Hermon? Well, it's gorgeous there in the redwoods and all of that. Of course, that's in contrast to the Mount Hermon in Israel that's at 9,200 feet. But even 400 feet is, you know, good enough to lift your spirits. So our spirits can be lifted by mountains, by that kind of nature. Our spirits this past year were lifted by just spending some time at the coast, at the ocean. Our family grew up near Malibu, so we had a really wonderful time raising our children in that area there. Spent a lot of time over at the ocean. Had a great number of days where we were hanging out there with a lot of other people and all that sort of thing. And so we have this longing to just get over the ocean as much as we can. In fact, when we were in Phoenix, we were in Phoenix for 7 years, the ocean is like 5 hours away. You know, any way you go from Phoenix, like 5 hours anyway. And so Bernice would try to get back to Southern California as often as she could. And whenever she got back into the area near a beach, she said, you know, repeatedly when I would come back, I would feel like my soul was just filling up, that getting closer to the coast was filling up my soul. And that's what the psalmist is declaring here. Do you see it? That it says the work of his hands, if we'll just stop, if we'll just take some time, you know, you may be in a bad place right now. And one of the things that you could do in this bad place is just get out in nature and reflect on the works of God. Just let your mind reflect on this God of the universe, the God who created these beautiful works. There is a God. And in fact, I think creation is like this huge clue that there's a maker. Just like that watch that's on your wrist there has a maker. There's a maker behind that watch. It didn't all of a sudden just, woohoo, it just came together. And then there was that watch. It just happened spontaneously by itself. No, I don't think so. Any more than the creation that we see all around us. This creation is the act of a creator. A creator who wants a relationship with us, and he's made it possible for us to have a relationship with him through his son that he sent to give his life so that us, even though we're sinners separated from sin, might have a new choice, have a new decision about God, that we want a connection to God. We want a relationship with God now and forever. You know, the biggest problem facing people is that decision right there. It truly is. Because so many people, when you get right down to it, they just don't want a relationship with God. They don't want somebody to be in charge of their life. They don't want to look to somebody else. They want to be the God of the universe. And so one of the best things that we could do, quite frankly, is just get out into creation and just stare and just reflect and let it cheer you up. Let it cheer you up. Let it lift your spirits. This word glad means to cause to have pleasure. This word glad speaks of happiness. This word glad speaks of joy. And I know that you've experienced this. So many of us, because of vacations or other times in our life, or maybe it's just a hike in the local mountains or a ride on a motorcycle or whatever it is that you do, but you get out in creation and you just take it in. And generally what happens is there's an infusion of gladness, a return to joy. What's rejoice? Rejoicing is joy, but it's a return to rejoicing, or it's a return to joy. And there's a return to joy that oftentimes happens in creation where something wonderful takes place in our spirit. I say that often. It doesn't always happen that way. On Father's Day, we went over to Half Moon Bay. I don't know if you remember what the weather was like on Father's Day, but it was not great over at Half Moon Bay. It was nice and cloudy. It doesn't look like it was cloudy here, but it was cloudy. And it was really windy. Look at our granddaughter down there. Her hair's freaked out. But anyway, you know, it was just like a windy day. It was 50 degrees at the beach. The wind chill was, you know, hitting us. I was freezing to death out there. It did not make me glad. It did not cheer me up. It did not give me abundant pleasure. So there are going to be those moments where, you know, you're going to be thinking about nothing else other than, I need a coat and I want to get out of here as fast as I possibly can. But oftentimes in creation, a sense of gladness comes back into our spirit. In fact, I found I could go over to the ocean just for a half-hour lunch and just sit there for a half-hour lunch and leave better than it was when I came. And often when we go over to the beach and spend some time there, you know what we say to ourselves as we're leaving? We say, especially since we all live close to the beach here, you know what we say? We say, we got to do this more often. Because every time we come, at least except for that one time, but every time we come, there's just something that happens in our spirit. And that's what the writer of this psalm is talking about. The writer of this psalm is saying, hey, when I consider the work of God's hands, I experience gladness. Something happens good in my soul as I gaze on the greatness of God that is on display. Give yourself permission to do that. But there's another work here that speaks of a work of God. It's the work that not only does he do in giving us gladness, but it says, at the work of your hands, I sing for joy. That's fascinating, because God's work can also prompt us to sing. God's work can also prompt us to sing. It could cause us to just like break out in song for joy. Now, you know what the word sing means? Yeah, that's right. It means sing. That's right. It means sing. So that wherever you are, as you're taking in the creation of God, as you're thinking about who God is and what he has done, one of the things that's going to happen is there's going to be gladness in your soul, and this gladness that's going to hit your soul is going to want to come out in your mouth. It's going to want to, you know, somehow come out, whether you're going to break out in song or praise. And really, then what you have is a description of worship, don't you? You have a person who's been moved in their emotions to in some way express that feeling that they're having inside to the God who created us and to the God who created what potentially we're looking at right now. So singing, or call it trying to sing, actually is normal. It's not abnormal behavior for God's children. Now, I don't know if you've been watching the World Cup, but it's been interesting. There's been some what we might call unusual behavior in the World Cup, but those who have been around soccer wouldn't call it unusual behavior. That is, people sing at soccer games. Have you ever noticed this? That you could go to a soccer game, especially professional kind of soccer games, or, you know, high-level soccer games. You might not be singing at the children's soccer games, but if you look at these other soccer games, it's fascinating how people at these games often are singing. I mean, how do you explain that? And I know some of you say, well, they sell alcohol there. That's how I explain that. I mean, you know, it's like they lost all their inhibition and they just start singing out there. That's what that's going on. Well, think about it. Regardless of that, it's their singing of with joy because of the work of their team. Because they're excited that their team is playing this game, and they're excited, hopefully, about what their team is doing. So it produces in them a little sense of gladness, a little sense of joy. And if they score a goal, the volume level goes way up. That's just kind of expected. Well, the same is true here. This is the picture here. Dwelling on the works of God. Look at it this way. Dwelling on the one that we love. I mean, people love these soccer teams. Dwelling on the one that we love will result in a variety of expressions of worship. And one of the expressions of worship that will just be natural for God's people is to sing. It's to sing. You say, well, I don't sing. Okay, well, let's think about that for a minute. Because actually, that might not be a good sign. You might be careful about who you talk to about this if you say, well, I don't sing. And I don't even attempt to sing. Be careful about that just for a minute, because that might not be a good sign. That might be a yellow flag in your spiritual life. You know, the scripture says this, Ephesians 5:18, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. What he's describing there actually is normal practice for a Christian, for somebody who's connected to God, and at that moment of salvation, God places within this person the Holy Spirit. That's part of the new birth. And with the Holy Spirit in us, it's going to be, as you can see it there in verse 19, it's going to be normal practice to break out in song, to sing to the God who has saved us, to sing to the God who has created this. I mean, it's going to be normal. In fact, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, one of the natural byproducts will be singing. You say, under the influence? Was fascinating, because the very verse in front of this, 5:19, says this, 5:18, do not get drunk on wine. That's talking about being under the influence, which leads to debauchery. So we're not talking about that kind of under the influence. We're talking about another kind of under the influence. Instead, he says, and here's the contrast, be filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, guess what? A song in some capacity is going to come out of your soul. So when God's work is working in us, the result is singing. Or at the very least, as you look at that text, they're sharing. Or maybe it's just humming. Or at least a little smiling. I mean, you can't but smile when you think about the works of God and all of these wonders. And those kinds of things are multiplied, this psalmist is saying. Those kinds of things, gladness and singing, it's multiplied when you reflect on God's works. God's works as seen in the ocean, on the beach, in the clouds, in the sky. So the point of all of this here on a day of, you know, this is our annual all-church worship service at the beach that includes baptism. And yeah, we're going to go over there. If you could come, we'd love to have you come. But we're going to go over there. We're going to sing because it's only appropriate that we would sing on the beach, and because it gives us an opportunity to be a testimony to everybody that's on the beach around us. And we're going to just talk about Psalm 92 for just a few moments. And then we're going to hear some testimonies from those who are going to be baptized. And they're going to testify in a different way of God's works, aren't they? They're going to testify to the work that God did in their heart to draw them to Himself. And we're going to hear that testimony. And then we're going to, as a church family, because we're family, then as a family, we're going to just rejoice together. And this public testimony of faith to Jesus Christ. And you don't have to go over to the beach to be a part of that. You could see His greatness and display all around us. You could see it in the works that He's doing in the lives of people. In fact, I mentioned the Tyler accident. You know, as we've been reflecting and have some extra time here to think back on this whole thing and to get more of the story, because there is more story that, you know, in the shock of the whole situation, you don't get it all. But we were told that 4 days before this accident happened, one of the families involved was pretty much given a brand new trailer, camping kind of trailer. And this family called up, this family's involved in this accident, and just said, you know, we want to give you this trailer for basically, it turned out to be hardly anything. And they said, okay, well, yeah, we really do. Well, little did they know that they were going to need that trailer 4 days later when they moved it over to the Valley Children's Hospital near Fresno and began to live in it because it was necessary for the family to be there around the clock. For 3 days before they took Tyler by ambulance over here to Stanford. So then they moved the trailer over here. And Stanford's been gracious enough through the Ronald McDonald House to provide a place for some family to stay, but there have been so many family involved in this whole thing, they moved the trailer over here. It was almost like God was just saying, you're going to need this. Nobody anticipated that. In fact, I found out that the kids, there were five of them that were in this little pickup-like thing, utility vehicle, that for some reason, they decided that they would all put on seat belts before they took off for their fun ride. They all five put on seat belts. Now, you got to understand, I've been driving these mules, these utility vehicles, for probably the last 15 years, and I've never one time put a seat belt on. I've never asked any of those who I'm transporting around in these vehicles to put a seat belt on. But for some reason, all five of them put a seatbelt on, and that's why the accident wasn't as bad as it could have been. And I think that God oftentimes does works like that in our lives. If we'll just open our hearts up and pay attention to what it is that He's doing in the circumstance right now. It's all around us. And sometimes the easiest way to see it is just to go out and just take a walk. Just go out and find your soul being filled up with gladness and singing because of the God who created all of this. So today we're reminded to take pleasure in God's greatness, His greatness that is on display, especially at the beach and the mountains, because it can elevate our gladness, it can cause us to worship Him, the one whose greatness is on display for everybody to see. Let's think. Lord, thank you for for that reminder. Here in the middle of summer, when summer could be getting by without us just taking a few moments every day to just enjoy this wonderful place that you've put us, called Earth. Not just to live a life without you, but to live a life vitally connected to you. And our prayer would be that that is true for each person who is here, that they are connected to you through Jesus Christ. And you're working in them. You're bringing about your plan in their life, and they are willing to walk in it. In fact, if you're here today and you've never received Christ, the new life in Christ could begin right now. Just tell God that. Lord, I want a relationship with you through your Son. Would you make me one of your children? Would you forgive me of my sins? I want to be the person you want me to be. Change my life. Thank you, God. Thank you for the encouragement today of, again, just looking in the Scriptures and seeing that you are the God who changes us. And so, Lord, continue to change us. Help us be the people you want us to be, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.